One of the easiest ways to identify a true follower of Jesus Christ is how compassionately that person treats other people. The Savior's message is clear. His true disciples build, lift, encourage, persuade, and inspire. No matter how difficult the situation, true disciples of Jesus Christ are peacemakers.
Hello, this is Gabe Fry from the University of Utah Institute of Religion. This is the podcast series entitled How Firm a Foundation. During this episode, we will be discussing how the church and religion play a role in building a strong spiritual foundation. Today, I'm joined by Johnny Bowers, who is a student here at the U, a grad student, and also attending the Institute. From Arizona, did a bachelor's at the Y before coming here. Thank you so much for being here, Johnny.
Thanks, Gabe.
So I want to get right into it. We're discussing the talk by President Oakes from this last conference, The Need for a Church. Let's define church. I wanted to ask you first, how do you differentiate the definition for church? I think there's kind of two ways to look at it. Church as a religion, church as a physical location. But to you, what's the distinction? Why is it important?
Well, a religion is a collection of beliefs, often customs, rituals, overarching expectations for this life and potentially the next that individuals adhere to for some kind of benefit. And the church, as we colloquially say it, is not simply a physical location, but also an organization and a society whereby we can be enriched and we can practice our religion.
Awesome. So at the beginning of President Oakes' talk, he brings up a statistic talking about how less than 50% of adults in the year 2020 said that they belong to a religion. So talking about church as a religion, kind of as you mentioned with rituals and beliefs that a person adopts, how have you seen this in your life? How have you seen this decline in people belonging to a religion? And I guess it's not just Christian religions, but all religions. Have you seen this?
And oh, for sure. And I think if we hop on social media, we can see a disdain for religion, if not just like a complete absence of religion being discussed. But over the last few decades, there's been a rapid decline. And I've seen a lot of people that I grew up with of different religions simply stop believing or posting things about how negatively religion impacted them. So I think overall, we have a huge shift in our priorities. And people feel like they have to choose between science and faith, as if science has the corner on the market of faith, and it's mutually exclusive.
That is so true. I see that today as well. Kind of this mutual exclusive view at science and religion. Since you bring that up, it sounds like you don't think they're mutually exclusive. Do they work together? Or
no, I think if a complete and comprehensive belief in science will also draw you to religion, as in if we understood everything about science, we would freely acknowledge that there is a God. And God works by laws, and science is dictated by laws. Those are beyond our comprehension, and it requires faith to believe in either, truly. But I believe that they work together. But that's evidently not what the world believes. And also, nobody likes to be told what to do. No one likes to have someone else judge them or hold them to a standard that they feel is illogical or inconvenient. And so if they don't have spiritual experiences, then there's not much holding them to a religion. It's mostly an inconvenience or an outdated way of life.
Yeah, that is so true. Kind of going off what you said with having to show faith in science and religion. A year and a half ago, I took a philosophy class. And in that philosophy class, I learned about the philosophers through the 1500s and 1600s until now. And each philosopher, in fact, in those times, tried to prove the existence of God. Each philosopher after the previous one disproves previous philosophers until we reach the time of the scientific method, when that became the way of finding truth and knowledge. And that was a revelation to me, because the proofs for God, the existence of God, were all disproven. They were shown as circular. But the scientific method allows for observation, experimentation, and then correcting yourself if you've made a mistake or adding to your knowledge. And I think to your point, that's what religion is, at least our religion, allows for experimenting, right? Like read the Book of Mormon, pray about it, go to church, get a testimony for yourself. And so I too see them as working hand in hand that way, science and religion.
I think another thing that is unfortunate, to say the least, is that people judge religion by its fruits. And unfortunately, the fruits that have been negative are the ones that are most widely discussed on the worldwide stage. There are mistakes that were made or sins committed at the hands of religious figures or people in authority or just tenets throughout time. And society judges religion by those actions and not by the benefits that come from religion. In my education outside of BYU, religion is often treated with disdain and seen as illogical, but also oppressive. I think we have a lot of discussions today around race in the priesthood and questions around LGBTQ concerns that are associated with a lot of questions that we simply don't have answers for. And so it's easy to get caught up in modern philosophies around religion and how it negatively impacts the world.
Johnny, I'm curious, you mentioned that the fruits of religion are often, or the good fruits at least, are often not acknowledged or appreciated by the world. What's like one or two fruits that you think are just dismissed or not appreciated, I guess, yeah, by the world?
Well, I think the biggest one for me is that religion holds you to a higher standard. At least most religions that I've studied, and I've taken multiple world religions classes, they all seem to have standards for behavior that pushes people to be their best selves and also to serve other people, to make the world a better place, and that they are held accountable. It's not simply a social contract, but it is an avenue to become better and to better the world.
Why do you think, in your answer, I guess I'm kind of inferring that the world doesn't want those standards. They don't want to be held to that higher standard. They don't want to be accountable, maybe. Mm-hmm. To act in such a way. I hear a lot, I'm spiritual, but not religious.
Right.
Maybe kind of saying like, I want to do good, but I don't want to be held to a certain standard.
Right. It's intimidating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why do you think that is such a popular like opinion today? Or why dismiss the standards of religion?
Well, going back to what I said earlier, just being restricted. President Monson gave a really good talk about moral relativity. So having someone else dictate what is right and wrong. And we all have the light of Christ in us, but a lot of times we're confused or maybe we're well-intentioned, but would not be able to act appropriately or act in a way that God wants us to act without having a mouthpiece dictate what is clearly right and wrong. And so being held accountable not only to God, but to an authority figure is intimidating and also can be frustrating. It's not a belief that I subscribe to as far as that being a problem, but I certainly know many people that have a problem with having someone in between them and God or having someone establish what they should or should not do.
Yeah, Sister Kellyanne Barnett did a devotional this last week. And she mentioned that at the time when she was looking into the church, how she was listening to God and whatever God would tell her or his henchmen. And I thought that was kind of a funny word to use, but yeah, it did kind of communicate maybe some of that view of like, yeah, are the prophets, are the leaders of the church kind of these henchmen? And I'm not talking down on them, but maybe that's the worldview of church leaders. Mm-hmm. How do you think our church leaders public image, or what do you think the public image is of our church leaders?
Well, I almost nonstop, I hear about how our leaders are old white men. And that's the new phrase to label someone as out of date or out of touch. spanning even to being oppressive and being part of a system that keeps people down and restricts them from being happy. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's the more generalized image. Obviously, within the church, we see them very differently as, you know, humble, kind, righteous, revelatory men. But in today's climate, it's easy to see why, looking from the outside in, people might have some misgivings.
Yeah. The world, I think, and in society, really values youth and kind of making it big while you're young, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's interesting you bring up that image.
Yeah. I think our society in particular has really gotten away from valuing tradition and receiving knowledge from previous generations. And even in high school, I had teachers tell me, or a particular teacher tell me, that his goal was to get us to let go of the traditions of our parents and to adapt to new information and create a culture based off of that. So I think we really miss out when we disregard the wisdom that's been accumulated by someone else through their life experience.
Yeah, tradition has such a negative connotation today, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Unless you're talking about like Christmas traditions, maybe.
Right. Yeah.
Let's talk about the church as a church, as a building. So at the beginning of this episode, we mentioned that there's kind of a distinction there. You can talk about church as a religion or church as a physical place. Mm-hmm. What is the value of our church as a physical location? Why not just online church, you know?
Yeah. I think we all got a taste of how things could be with home church during the pandemic. And for me, it was really convenient because I didn't have to get out of my pajamas and I didn't have to leave my house, and I could just kind of lounge around and have a really relaxing Sunday instead of having to do my calling or, you know, fill in the blank. If you flip it on its head, you see that there's many, many opportunities for us to serve, many opportunities for us to grow within the physical association we have at church. You think, obviously, the most clear example of that is callings, where we're asked to serve each other, to build up the kingdom, and to support each other, ministering. You're forced to interact with people that you normally wouldn't interact with and create bonds with people. And that creates an interweb of connection within our culture. And in times past, people would really have to rely on each other within a village setting or a smaller community. And our cultures become very individualistic, focusing on what's in my best interest, what can I do best for me? Or instead, when we come to church, we're really asking, what can we do for others? Obviously, the most important thing at church is partaking of the sacrament, but it's very significant, I think, that at the Waters of Mormon, Alma taught about the expectations for people who are baptized into the fold of Christ. And that is to lift each other up, to bear each other's burdens, to mourn with those who mourn, and comfort those who stand in need of comfort. And it's very hard to do that when we're doing yoga on the beach and being spiritual, but not interacting with other people.
I like what you said about this imperative to help the church rather than simply be helped by the church. You know, ask not what the church can do for you, but ask what you can do for the church, basically, mm-hmm. right? President Oaks, in his talk, quoted a member who talked about going to church, and I kind of just wanted to read that. He said, "Some say that attending church meetings is not helping them. Some say, I didn't learn anything today, or no one was friendly to me, or I was offended. Personal disappointments should never keep us from the doctrine of Christ, who taught us to serve, not to be served." With this in mind, another member described the focus of his church attendance. "Years ago, I changed my attitude about going to church. No longer do I go to church for my sake, but to think of others. I make a point of saying hello to people who sit alone, to welcome visitors, to volunteer for an assignment. In short, I go to church each week with the intent of being active, not passive, and making a positive difference in people's lives." I love this quote because I think it hits on something that is not popular at all today. I think the common feeling is, well, what do I get out of it? What does the church do for me? And I think if you approach religion in that way, you're going to be disappointed because initially there may not be a lot in it for you. You have to sacrifice. In the long run, everything is in it for you.
Right.
And I want to ask you, what is the world missing out on by having this view of what's in it for me from the church? What do you lose by not losing yourself in service, I guess?
Well, and members of the church also lose sight of that. I think from a world's perspective, focusing on the sacrifice and the serving and the time commitment that we put into our church and our religious devotion, you miss out on the opportunities to learn more about yourself and your limitations, but also your potential to grow. The church gives many opportunities for people to get out of their comfort zone. I remember reading a study about youth from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints who gain incredible skills by being forced to give talks in primary and in church, and who have interpersonal skills because they were obligated to interact with people that they normally wouldn't interact with, particularly in missions. We are constantly stretching ourselves. We're constantly being pushed to do things that are hard, that are not convenient, to put others first. And in doing so, we create an interdependence within our church system where we are gaining faith, we're gaining confidence, we're gaining testimony of gospel truths, we're recognizing our divine worth in the eyes of God as spiritual children and that love that He intrinsically has for us. But obviously salvation is the ultimate goal and benefit. But getting outside of yourself and losing yourself in the cause of Christ is going to transform you into something that you never would have imagined otherwise. We have these expectations for ourselves and how life is going to go. And we can be disappointed when things don't turn out as planned, or we can recognize that Christ is molding us into a work of art that, in C.S. Lewis's quote, he's remodeling the cottage that we once were into a mansion.
Love that. And I think that's such a good place kind of to end that thought, because C.S. Lewis talks about how at first, you know, there's things we know we need to work on, like the pipes were leaking. We needed some fixing, you know, there was a hole in the wall that needed to be patched, right? We knew those things needed fixing. But then he comes in and just starts knocking the wall down. And by he, I mean God comes in and making these repairs, almost destroying us. And we think, what is happening? Why this? You know, throwing up a wing here, making a staircase there. And we don't have his vision, but he, like you said, he's going to take us from a little cottage, make us into a mansion. And I think that's a tough thing to sell to people these days, especially to young adults, to be like, hey, yeah, join this church. It's going to hurt.
Yeah.
Right? Like as C.S. Lewis says, hurt abominably. But I think that's where the trust comes in, right? And going to church, being in the building, doing the things you said, right? Serving, being out of our comfort zone is part of that process of being reconstructed by the Lord. Well, this takes us to the end of this episode. But before we get to our final question of the episode, I guess I just wanted to kind of sum up so far and recap this episode by saying, I think this has been helpful for me and hopefully for anyone listening to realize that the church, both as a religion and as a physical location, benefits us. And it requires trust for us to reap the benefits of religion and of church, but they really are there. And I'm so glad that you've shared your experience. And just I'll add my experience as well, that there is so much in this church and in religion generally, I think, for us to gain. As a final question, Johnny, it's a question that we're asking all our guests in this podcast series. In addition to what we've talked about today, what are you doing personally in your life right now to build a firm foundation?
That's a good question. And I want to say that I feel like perhaps I have a disproportionate amount of friends who have left the church for various reasons. And I've faced some significant struggles in going to church. And I've been the one that has felt out of place, the one who's been offended at church. And I won't go into detail, but I do have empathy for people that struggle within the church. And one of the biggest things for me is to stay. To stay in my ward, to stay in the gospel, and to have faith that the struggle and the sacrifice is worth it. And going to the temple, and I spend a lot of time working on family history, that has really helped me to connect with my ancestors, but also helps me to recognize what's more important, to recognize the goal, to recognize that when I walk with Christ, I have hope that things are going to get better, that everything is going to be worth it. And it's really significant to me, or noticed recently, that when even I was mad about something church-related surrounding a question that I have that has not been answered, and I forced myself to go to church, and even though I was mad, and you'd think that the Spirit wasn't with me, I recognized that even being in the building, my body had a physical reaction, that I felt the Spirit, even though I wasn't in the mood. So keeping myself in holy places and keeping my eye on the end goal allows what is asked of us and what is asked of me personally, it allows that to fall into place. And even though I can't see the next step, staying in the fold of Christ, to me, is how I'm building my foundation now.
My dear brothers and sisters, how we treat each other really matters. How we speak to and about others at home, at church, at work, and online really matters. Today I'm asking us to interact with others in a higher, holier way.
This podcast series has been produced by students at the Institute at the University of Utah.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend.
To direct others to this podcast, to listen to other episodes in this series, or to enroll in the Institute class associated with these podcasts, see our website at overcometheworld.podbeam.com.
This recording is not an official publication of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The views expressed are those of the participants and are neither the official doctrine nor the official teachings of the church.